invite you to turn with me in God's Word to Luke chapter 13 this afternoon. Luke chapter 13, we'll be considering verses 10 to 17. Luke chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. The text are the words we'll consider from verse 13, along with our confessional reference at Lord's Day 38, question and answer 103. But at Luke chapter 13, verse 13, we have, And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. It's a beautiful story that we have here captured in God's Word by our brother and author Luke. Luke chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, and he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. This ends the reading of God's holy, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word. May it be a blessing to you this day. I also invite you to turn with me to Lord's Day 38 of our Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 38, reading question and answer 103. Question 103 asks, "What is God's will for you in the fourth commandment?" And the answer, first, that the gospel ministry and schools for it be maintained, and that especially on the festive day of rest I diligently attend the assembly of God's people to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to the Lord publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. Second, that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways, let the Lord work in me through his Spirit, and so begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Dear brothers and sisters in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, have you ever wondered, young people, what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do on a Sunday? Growing up, the round bale feeders were always topped up on Saturday, and extra feed was made ready so that when Sunday rolled around, the cows would not get too hungry, and we had time for church. As a young person in our young people's groups, the question often arose as to what we might do in efforts to maintain our Sundays as a day of rest. And for what it's worth, I chose engineering, design, and drafting as my first career path, partly because I enjoyed it, partly because I was good at it, but also because the work was non-essential. I had figured that in doing so, I could give my Sundays to worship and to rest. I grew up restrained from buying gas, buying groceries, or going out to dinner on a Sunday. Maybe this is pretty normal for most of you. So then what does the Lord command and expect of us in the fourth commandment that we celebrate on every resurrection Sunday? Side note, some have not made that connection that the Christian Sabbath is the first day of the week because that's when the Holy Spirit raised our Savior from the dead. Side note, too, some say that the fourth commandment holds no authority over us any longer, for Christ himself healed and commended his disciples to pick grain on the Sabbath, that's Matthew 12, and they didn't get in trouble, so why should we? I traveled back years ago with a minister of the Word and Sacrament from an installation service on a Sunday afternoon and was shocked that he stopped off at a Tim Hortons to grab a cup of coffee halfway through the four-hour drive we were on. To be forthcoming with you after considering, you know that I'm in a series of parables, after considering a parable about leaven found in Luke just after our passage that I just read, I found it closely following the passage chosen for this afternoon's message. And then I found the passage coming close to only the second half of the Lord's Day question and answer that we just read. And it has been my practice on this round of preaching through the catechism to pick only one question and answer from each Lord's Day. And particularly today, we're only going to dwell on the last half of answer 103 for that reason. So then with God's word and with the confessions that summarize it, I simply say there will always be more to say than what we can cover in one sermon, and I've taken that approach this afternoon. I will take that approach with you this afternoon. So then contemplating such things and called then to preach on the fourth commandment for you this afternoon, I wish to help you along in your consideration of this command. A brother in Christ said to me recently that we don't deal in absolutes. I found that helpful. Only God can see the heart and only God knows the whole story. In the meantime, we're going to have to let ourselves be guided by those absolutes and rely upon Christ's righteousness to redeem. This applies to the fourth commandment. And to help you along in your considerations, I give you this theme and these points. A Sabbath day's rest for me means a Sabbath day's rest for you. A Sabbath day's rest for me means a Sabbath day's rest for you. And we have 3 points, a Sabbath law, a Sabbath lust, and then a Sabbath love. Firstly, let us consider a Sabbath law. When Jesus summarized the law in 2 commandments, the first being to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. When we want to ask how we can love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, the answer that we can respond with is by responding to the first 4 commandments given at Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. Yes? Can we do that? This includes the 4th commandment. If you want to love the Lord your God, then love him with obedience. Honor him by obeying his commands. We read them this morning. These are helpful. In Christ, they are fulfilled. And so with Christ in our hearts, we can follow them, loving our God in the process. In the Exodus account, God reminds his people of the 6 day on, 1 day off pattern that was established even at creation. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the 7th day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Exodus 20:11. In creation, God created creatures who need worship, who need rest, who need the blessing of a Sabbath and downtime to do so. And then he showed them how. By resting on the 7th day. In the Deuteronomy account, the Lord reminds his people of how the rest of the world operates. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath. Deuteronomy 5:15. Slavery leaves no time for worship, no time for rest. Slavery was not what the Lord wanted for his people, and so he removed them from under it mightily, and then left them the reminder in the law of Moses at Sinai, thus the fourth commandment. Let us note also that the fourth commandment was long a part of God's moral law established with humanity at creation, long before he commanded the ceremonial aspects of it through Moses at Sinai. We happily note that in the death of Jesus Christ, the temple curtain was torn in two, and the Levitical sacrificial system of worship and ceremony ceased. All the blood that was shed up to the blood of Jesus Christ shed upon the cross, that was shed, could only point forward to his final sacrifice, which actually took the sins away from his people. Read the book of Hebrews. Feast days and new moon celebrations and the like also lost any kind of hold upon the Christian. In Christ, we are slaves no longer. But we still need worship. We still need rest. Deuteronomy 5:15 brings us back to Exodus 20, verse 11, which brings us back to day 7 of creation, or Genesis 2, 2 and 3. In Luke's telling of Jesus healing the woman on the Sabbath, he was challenging the soon-to-be abrogated, overrated, and misunderstood interpretation of the Mosaic Sabbath as seen through the eyes of the ruler of the synagogue. But he, the Son of God, did not transgress his father's Sabbath commands. He did not, he could not, or we would not have our full salvation in him. When Jesus speaks of having glorified the Father in all that had been given to him to do, read the prayer from John 17. He did also in the healing of this poor woman on the Sabbath day. Luke 13, verse 10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. From this I want you to see that the Son of God, in healing this woman, in performing this mighty work, gave her rest. And what did she do? She worshiped. She was no longer a slave to her burden and was able to worship God on the Sabbath. Just like the slaves of Egypt, slaves no longer, just as God rested from all his work and blessed and hallowed the Sabbath, and in all of it, God's moral law remains intact, never transgressed by his Son, your Lord and Savior, and shall continue to be so. Secondly, then, let us consider a Sabbath lust. Now, lust is when you're in it for what you alone can get out of it. Okay? Lust is when you're in it for what you alone can get out of it. Love is when you're in it for what others can get out of it. Lust is when you're in it for what you alone can get out of it. Love is when you're in it for what others can get out of it. Just, I need you to remember that. Since the Ten Commandments were given, humanity has been interpreting them, yes? The Fourth Commandment has been no different. There are few different places that the Sabbath law is mentioned in the Old Testament. Outside of Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, we find mention of it at Exodus 23, 10 to 11, adding Sabbath days, adding to Sabbath days, Sabbath years. At Exodus 31, 12 to 18, just after the instructions of how to build the tabernacle and just before the golden calf event, Sabbath observance is mentioned again. At Leviticus 23, verse 3, the Sabbath begins the list of feasts that are to be observed. From this, we admit that the fourth commandment was integrated into the lives of the God's people. It had an expressed observance. Particular time was set aside for this command. If one was not going to observe the Sabbath, it could clearly be noticed, and punishment was severe. At Exodus 31, verse 14, we read, "You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it surely shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people." Such was found in the Torah. We just read from it. But what of the Talmud? Just a reminder, the Torah is the name for the first five books of the Old Testament, the first five books of Moses. We also know them as the Pentateuch. The Talmud, and now I'm quoting from a reputable Jewish website, the Talmud contains the history of the Jewish religion as well as their laws and beliefs. It is the basic tool for learning the ethics behind the customs of their religion. We'll now enter interpretation. The Torah contained God's law. All 613 commands. And the Talmud contains then the interpretation. For roughly 1,500 years, such interpretation was taking place. And if you have a law that is believed to be achievable, then you need to make some exceptions, some interpretations. Now, such interpretations get complex if there are five books of the law containing all 613 commands. There are hundreds of books interpreting them. Such interpretation gets complex. We don't have time today to evaluate much of it, but I'll read for you just a small sample of what can easily be found again on reputable Jewish websites. For example, lights which need to be which will be needed on Sabbath are turned on before Sabbath. Automatic timers may be used for lights and some appliances as long as they have been set before Sabbath. The refrigerator may be used, but again, we have to ensure that its use does not engender any of the forbidden Sabbath activities. Thus, the fridge light should be disconnected before Sabbath by unscrewing the bulb slightly, and a freezer whose fan is activated when the door is opened may not be used. Another example, we may not cook or light a fire, so we cook before Sabbath and keep the food warm through special methods that do not violate any Sabbath prohibitions. Now, perhaps we hear such things and we think them maybe a bit silly, but when you don't have a Savior to save you from your sins, all you have is your good work. And when such work becomes impossible or unachievable, well, you either stand condemned, which according to the Old Testament means death, or you need to make some interpretive concessions. If you think about it, why Jesus was not immediately put to death during the seven times his healing or working on the Sabbath was noticed, I have them listed here if you'd like. Provide that to you. It is a testament to just how seriously those of the synagogue took such rules. Nevertheless, from our passage, the transgression only, we talked about this at lunch a little bit, the transgression only, not the sheer miracle, was noticed. And of he who thought that the Sabbath law could be kept to a certain perfection, fitting for divine salvation, he shares his response at verse 14. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, and he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work, therefore come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath." Was this not one of Paul's greatest worries about his church plans? We've been studying his letter to the Galatians at Bethel from Brockville. A legalism had settled among them and was purely disrespectful of Christ's amazing and undeserved sacrifice for the salvation of his people. Nothing else was needed besides the Christ doing all things for you. He doesn't need your works to save you. He saves fully. Now glorify him in your works. You see, a works-based salvation means that you need to look out for number one. First, or alone. You have to love yourself first. You've got to lead by example and convict those who don't. You need to worry about what you can get out of the situation yourself before you worry about anyone else. Lusting after someone or something does the same thing. And we're not talking about the seventh commandment here. We're just seeing the lust found in misinterpreting ourselves in the fourth commandment. And then here comes the Christ, hey? Looking not at himself, but at the woman who for 18 years was plagued with a spirit of infirmity. And he didn't care about what they thought the law meant. And he gave her freedom from her burden. From this spirit of infirmity, she was released and no longer a slave. She did nothing to warrant the release. What a gift she was given, and not at her cost, but at the cost of his own life, soon to come. A gift given at his expense and not hers. It was not about what he could gain. But about what he would gain for her. Thirdly, then, let us consider a Sabbath love. I turn now just for a moment to Mark 2, verses 23 to 27. Mark 2, verses 23 to 27. Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as he went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" But he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests, and also gave some to those who were with him?" And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." Mark 2, 23, 27. Why did God rest on the seventh day of creation? Why did he bless the seventh day and sanctify it? It would be foolish and entirely disrespectful to think that he needed it for himself. He did it to establish a pattern for us. It was out of love for his image bearers that a time for worship and a time for rest be established amongst us. Israel, now having grown into a nation that is led out of slavery, Having likely missed out on Sabbath rest while there, these people, led by Moses and seeking God's will at Sinai, are given also this fourth commandment to remind them of what God gave them at creation. God intertwined it. He made it unmovable in their law. God forced them, if you will, to take a break, to take some time to draw closer to Him and farther away from the world in which they live. Thinking on it, what a profound gift post-slavery to be commanded to turn to the God of your rescue, to be commanded to rest. Yes, a reflection of God's grace, but also a reflection of human stubbornness. We have to be told to slow down. So then what is the difference between the command and the gift? To put it differently, for a nation saved through no means of their own, are not the commands of God a gift in and of themselves? You see, what was hidden in seed form when you read of God's people under Egyptian slavery and unable to remove themselves from it, when you read of Moses being called by God to lead them out, when you witness the 10 plagues teaching the Egyptians that when God calls His people, no one should stand in His way, you learn again in seed form of divine rescue. And you learn that divine rescue is not dependent upon the work or the response of the people saved. These people, in hearing the law from Deuteronomy this time, were commanded to Sabbath rest because the God who creates and then rescues, who did so with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, did so out of profound promise and profound love, not wanting to see His people in pain, wanting only to show them what good living in His world looks like. By this, other nations could see this nation of priests and know also that to serve their God meant rescue and life as well. And all that is hidden then in such rescue, as the Israelites and many others, a mixed multitude, by the way, Exodus 12, verse 38, all this is fulfilled in the rescue from sin itself that Jesus Christ comes to bring. We call Him human in every way except one. To rescue humanity from the slavery of sin, the Son of God became the Son of Man. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He increased in wisdom and stature and in the favor with God and men, Luke 2:52. And sin He did not. And at His baptism, and just before His final work takes place, divine words are declared of Him from heaven. You are My beloved Son, in You I am well pleased. That's at His baptism at Luke 3:22. This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. That's on the Mount of Transfiguration at Matthew 17, verse 5. And many miracles were witnessed of Him, and many words were spoken, including a summary of God's law, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. In His final words to the disciples towards the end of the Gospel of John, He sets all things in order before He goes on to die for your sins when He says at John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Such a command doesn't contradict the law, but fulfills it. Have you heard of that? Love fulfills the law? So then when the Christ saw the pure indignation and lack of love in the evaluation given of his healing work at the synagogue with a righteous rage. You know what? Similar to that of his cleansing of the temple in Matthew 21, he responds to the ruler of the synagogue at verse 15 with, "Hypocrite, does not each of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" He responds this way because the ruler of the synagogue knew the law, knew the commands, but forgot about the gift. He understood that Sabbath observance was commanded, sure enough, but he forgot why. It wasn't so that humanity could work towards salvation, but so that they could understand even a little about the eternal Sabbath coming for all those who rely upon God alone through his Son, Jesus Christ, to bring his people into such rest. I haven't given you a list yet of what you're allowed to do on Sundays, have I? In today's passage, Jesus worked. You can call it what you want. Jesus worked on the Sabbath out of pure love to give this woman hers. And immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. That's beautiful. For 18 years, she couldn't worship. She couldn't rest. Out of Sabbath love, Jesus made it so she could. And then she did. In the beginning, the Father showed that a Sabbath day's rest for him means a Sabbath day's rest for you. In the early days of Christ, he showed that a Sabbath day's rest for you means a fulfilling work for him alone. And for you, dear believers, dear Church of Jesus Christ, dear brothers and sisters here at Salem URC of Bowmanville, Ontario, know that an eternal Sabbath coming for you means a restless work for the Holy Spirit. Do you want a worshipful and restful Sabbath? Well, such is not left in your hands to consider, but in the hands. Let me start over. Such is not left in your hands to consider. Such is left in your hands to offer to someone else. What work can you do for someone else that they may worship, that they may rest on this your Lord's day? This is God's will for you in the fourth commandment, that every day of your life you rest from your evil ways and let the Lord work in you through his Spirit, and so begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. I leave you with that. Amen.